Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You look like my granddaddy. Champions again. Welcome to 20 Minute Tims. But before we get into the podcast, I want to let you know about our Patreon, patreon.com/20minutetims. This is where you can support the podcast throughout the season, get extra videos, extra podcasts, extra writing, extra content from us as we discuss the champions. Stephen, Melly, that performance was the performance of champions.
Oh, sure was. Absolutely scalped Aberdeen. A very good Aberdeen team going by recent form, and Celtic just brushed them aside. It's a performance we've seen a lot this season, and it was nice to finish off the league season like that, and a good wee boost before the cup final next week.
And the plentiful chat we've had, us and the wider fan base, plentiful chat about what games mean, whether they're meaningless, whether they're completely meaningful. There was no doubt that, well, in my mind, there was no doubt on the way to that game that Celtic were not going to let us down on this occasion, right? Because the last few games have been crap. Even Ange had a wee joke about it after the game about how the games after the split haven't been so great, right? So there was no way Celtic were going to send us out without a bang. Mm-hmm. No way they were going to send the league season off with a whimper, because we've had a few crackers in the past. When it comes to Trophy Day, we've dealt with a few pastings, and this was no different. There was no way Callum McGregor was going to let it happen. No way Ange was going to let it happen. It was a party. It was
no
always
way Barry
going to be a party.
Robson was going to let it happen.
yeah, it was a party. Aberdeen contributed to it. But yeah, it was a really thoroughly enjoyable game and day, to be honest, yeah.
You were expecting it for Celtic. As you said, Stephen, just before we turned the mics on, when it matters that this team show up.
Every time. I think every time this season Celtic have delivered when it matters. And again, look, this falls into the dead rubber category as well. It wasn't, you know, worth the points that were at the end of it. No one was really playing for anything. Aberdeen's competitive edge had gone after they'd clinched third. But it does matter, because this is Trophy Day and it's important. You have to deliver something, have to create the party atmosphere. And it's yet another, not so much big occasion, I don't want to overstate it, but it's part of the ritual now. You go along to Trophy Day every single season, just about, when you're allowed to. When there's fans at the stadium, we go along every year expecting a party on Trophy Day, and Celtic deliver once again. And I'm left thinking that, yes, we can have our gripes about individual performances, and particularly after the split, after the league was confirmed. But for the most part, for every single part, Celtic have delivered in every game that's mattered this season, pretty much.
One of the most convincing performances of the season as well comes in the last day, and it just shows when this Celtic team are in full flow, when they've got most of their main players, they can do this. I mean, Aberdeen have been in good form. Aberdeen aren't the worst team we've seen at Celtic Park, but Celtic completely dominated them, showed them what we're all about, and just reminded everybody this is why we won the league, because most of the games were like this. Another game where a team has barely had a shot and goal, barely get an attempt into our own half, never mind getting into our box. So Celtic were completely dominant in this game and this season, and hopefully come Saturday we could be completely dominant in all the trophies.
How do you think the lineup affected that?
The lineup was back to as probably as strong as it could be. I think Kobayashi coming out helps. I think Bernabe coming out
You're
helps.
You're a cruel man.
But also bringing back guys like Hart, Johnston and Greg Taylor really settles everything down for Celtic, and Kyogo as well. And the guy just scores when he plays. So bringing these guys back really helps us a lot.
I mean, there was a midweek game, Stephen, but we've just...
Whatever.
You know what? Doesn't matter. Bedwetters. That was Virgin Comical, though.
It's such a fortunate fixture placement, isn't it? Because we record this on Monday nights, and by the time those midweek fixtures come around, we've got another one at the weekend. I mean, you can just sort of brush those
off. That was like COVID football stuff. It was so bad.
Honestly, I'm so glad that the Aberdeen game happened and was as enjoyable as it was, because that Hibs game was laughable. Genuinely, absolutely risible performance. And you know, we talk about the lineups, right? And there are certain players in this squad who I feel sometimes go underappreciated. I think there's certain players that people have probably made their minds up about early on, and we're always doing this thing where we project into the future, where we say we need better for the Champions League and all that. So it makes everyone overlook what's happening right in front of you, the achievements that have been made, and maybe people don't appreciate it at the time. So when you talk about Isla, Joe Hart has not been very good this season. Maybe it's time to give Bain a run in the team, right? Bernabe and Kobayashi, I think probably people made their minds up that they were going to be upgrades on the guys that were already there. Mm. More unfashionable players in the squad, like Greg Taylor and Carl Starfelt. Carl Starfelt, maybe not. I think the tide has kind of turned on him a little bit. But these unfashionable players that we have, I think everyone made their mind up that the guys just behind them they're going to usurp them eventually. They're the upgrades. But for me, all it does is the performances of those guys just enhance how important these guys are to the team. Because Mel has already said, when Taylor and guys like that come back in the team, you see that what they bring. It really sort of hammers it home for me how valuable these guys are to the team. Because I really don't mean this as a dig at the guys who we've got in the squad. We've had our discussions about this in the recent weeks when they've been playing, but they're nowhere near, they're miles behind these guys.
Do you
guys.
Know what? Part of me starting to think that we should change what, you know, we don't stop or we never stop, or we should just change that to we play when we want. Because I'm now looking at that wee space between like that wee sort of junk time fixtures that never meant anything, and then we come back for trophy day and we really turn on the style, right? Yeah. Part of me is thinking maybe even the fringe players couldn't be arsed with that little middle period, even they couldn't get themselves up for it. You know, I'm being slightly facetious here, but part of me is like, is it even fair to judge them? Well, I mean, they had different things to play for. They had an impact to make. They had, you know, playing for starts and all that. But there's no way they could all be that bad.
Well, between clinching the league at Tynecastle and trophy day at Celtic Park, is that sort of the week between Christmas and New Year? Nobody really knows what they're doing. They're eating too many Quality Street, all that kind of thing. Is it just watching Indiana Jones and Bond films? Nobody's really concentrating on what they're doing. It's a kind of holiday.
It was so bad, and we were so good again on trophy day, but I'm almost willing to give Bernabe and Kobayashi a pass for how shite they were. Not Bane, though. You don't get one. Greg Taylor and AJ were back in though, and I think Greg Taylor was tremendous in this one.
Oh, Greg Taylor was absolutely brilliant, and again we see what we get from him. He's like Stephen's saying, one of these guys, maybe we could upgrade on him. It'd be very difficult to upgrade on him. I think he's shown why he's grown into this so much. He's absolutely pivotal in the way Celtic play now.
He completely understands the role he's asked to play, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely. I think he mentioned after the game he started his career in midfield, so that's why he finds it so easy playing in there. But he's great on the ball. He's got a good eye for a pass as well, something that's maybe understated in him a bit. And the roles he plays in the first couple of goals, that all the goals from this game are very satisfying in their own means. So it's just good to see Celtic back firing again. And Greg Taylor was pivotal in that.
We're seeing Greg Taylor. He's a good example of what happens when we talk about the squad and how players sometimes don't fit in, because I think that it's more of a difference in how they fit in rather than them being good or bad players. I don't think we've really got any just genuinely terrible players in the squad. I think the difference is players who get it and players who get it less than those. All of these players, you talk about runs of games and all that. We've had those jokes, right, about how, you know, players don't get runs of games. It's because that these players are drilled all week to a system. They know their roles, that they come in, they have to hit the ground running when you come into a Celtic team. You don't really get runs of games. You have to contribute when you're thrown in. But they don't come in blind. They're drilled into these systems all week long in training. Greg Taylor absolutely gets it. Mm-hmm. He knows what his role is on there. Whereas others, you go in and think, well, have you been to a single training session at all? So Greg Taylor is a prime example of the player who has taken to Ange's system and basically just run with it. What a turnaround.
I mean,
a
midfielder come left back, or left back come midfielder, seems like the ideal fullback for the way Ange Postecoglou wants to play. It was quite interesting. He was asked a question at a recent press conference about his tactical approach and how it changes with the different players, and it kind of put to bed once and for all for me this Ange ball myth that's been kicking about since he arrived. This thing that you hear so often about, Well, he's not his type. We've heard about everybody. Joe Hart is not Ange's type of player because X. Greg Taylor isn't Ange's type of player because Y. This player doesn't fit into Ange ball for all these various reasons. And Ange basically says, look, that's not the way I play.
Yeah.
I've got players, like, I know that Bernabe is a completely different fullback to Greg Taylor. So when I've got Bernabe on the pitch, I try to play to his strengths. Ange can only do so much. It's only then up to Bernabe to play to his own strengths, and he's not really managed that as such. But it's when you look at a player like Greg Taylor, that's almost the perfect marriage of our manager completely understanding what a player's strengths are, and the player completely understanding how to utilise his strengths in the manager's system. And it just comes in, and it seems to work perfectly.
It does, and it shows in the Celtic squad that Bernabe and Taylor are totally different. Ralston and Johnson are totally different, but Celtic have got different players all over the place. If Ange was coming in and was wedded to this one Ange ball system, then he'd have his first 11, then the guys underneath that would all be the exact same players if that's the only way he played. But he doesn't. He brought in Kyogo and Giakoumakis. When Giakoumakis left, he brought in O. Two completely different strikers up there. So Celtic have got different ways to play when they have different players on, and that's what every good manager does. He has certain values, certain principles that his team will stick by, but when there's different players on the pitch, you'll play to different strengths. And look, Celtic just look a lot better with Greg Taylor and the strengths he has than they do with Bernabe. A lot of that's to do with that Greg Taylor's a better player, but a lot is to do with the weaknesses in Bernabe. But Greg Taylor, again, this season, from January last season up till now, been so consistent for Celtic, so good, and one of the guys that you just think, if he's in there, Celtic will be fine.
It's ever since he opened those Instagram comments.
That's right.
We've been encouraging him all the way down the road. Was it for Kyogo's first goal that Greg Taylor played the pass right across it? Did it go McGregor, Taylor, Kyogo? Was that the first goal?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant from Celtic. And Nick Stephen mentioned it a few weeks ago about how his pals, how are teams meant to pick this up when your left back's sort of in that number 10 position? He's not quite number 10, but Cal McGregor plays it from midfield into Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor's in between the halfway line and the 18-yard box and plays it into your striker, who finishes it. Absolutely brilliant. The second goal as well is the reverse of that. It's Greg Taylor to McGregor. McGregor has a shot in Kyogo. So that's three players both involved in the first two goals for Celtic. Incredible movement, incredible passing, incredible agility from all these players in Celtic. That's our left back picking that up there, feeding your striker the hot dog that Kyogo sends him for, and then the left-footed finish as well. It's all just brilliant to watch from Celtic, and shows why Celtic are top of the league, why they have won the league, and why they've dominated so well.
One of the problems with Kyogo is, Stephen, that he's so good and he's so consistently good for Celtic that when you do a weekly podcast on Celtic like we do, you're like, well, how do we say anything new about this guy? Because it's and it's got to the point now where, without getting too meta about things, We've even run out of different ways of saying how do we say something new about Kyogo on a weekly podcast, because that finish was absolutely tremendous.
Podcaster's curse now.
Yeah, the podcaster's curse. Aye, that dummy in finish.
The guy's literally barely stopped scoring all season.
No.
What's that, 33 now? 33 sitting on, which is absolutely incredible. Still with a game to go. He could hopefully he makes it right enough. He looked as if he took a wee bit of a bad one in that game, hobbled off quite badly, and he didn't look his normal energetic self in the celebrations. Yes. He wasn't forefront doing his wee dances and all that. So hopefully he can make it. But you know what? Without meaning to sound disrespectful to the opposition, the lower league opposition once again, if we have seen the last of Kyogo this season with only one game to go, what a season it's been. Astonishing, really. Really, how do you keep getting better? He's one of those guys where I thought, right, we signed him, 27, I think it was, 26, 27, probably the finished article. We'll probably see the best of him in season one, then we'll maybe look to sell him in season two. You know, kind of this new model Celtic have adopted. But he's one of those extremely rare cases where I can see him getting even better as he gets towards 30.
Well, this is what I was about to mention, because the way Kyogo plays, it's his movement. And he's such a dangerous prospect for a player that's getting older, rather, because the way he reads the game, his on-field intelligence and that movement, not pace, movement, is probably going to get better. I mean, you could end up with like a Pipo Inzaghi on your hands here. You know what I mean? Still like sneak creeping in at the back. Yeah. Like, where did he come from and how's he still doing it at 34 years old?
An incredible poacher of goals, but even at that, he's had so many spectacular ones this season. You think back to the one against Dundee United, several of them against Rangers are brilliant, but it's the tap-ins against Rangers that always stick in my mind as the sort of quintessential Kyogo goal. No one seems to know where he is.
Yeah.
And all he is just, he's right in the middle of the goal. He's right in the middle of the goal, just waiting and waiting, moving, dropping in, pulling back, just arriving at the right time to just tap at home. It's an incredible
striker.
He's scored
every sort of goal this season, hasn't he?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He definitely has. He's got a few headers in there as well. And it's so difficult because Aberdeen, wherever they line up, all they have to do is, right, somebody has to get Kyogo. But when Celtic's left-back's popping up where he is and then feeding it into this guy, and then he sends you for the dummy. But it's even the second goal. Cal McGregor has that shot. Before Cal McGregor's had the shot, you see Kyogo spin off and go round because he knows, what if the keeper flaps at this? And the keeper did, and he's got a tap in. So many strikers don't have that instinct. He's got that, and it's something that will never leave him. And like you say, he doesn't rely on pace. It's all about movement and being in the right place at the right time. That is a skill in itself. It's not luck. It's everything, his movement, his desire, and his work ethic to get in there. So he's going to score goals the rest of his career, no matter what. Yes, maybe when he loses a bit of pace or he can't press as much, but goals will always come for that guy.
I thought O's goal from the free kick was very Kyogo-like.
Yeah.
The way he anticipated the keeper's way. Because he was dancing in front of the wall, and I thought, yeah, I'm not sure what this is, but we'll see what happens, right? But to me, that's a bit of a piss take. He's saying to every defender, because most of the defence will know, here I am. And then the shot gets hit and he goes, do you know what, I'm just going to nip round the back and see if I can get a rebound here. And of course he did.
Yeah, and that's why I like the Lukaku. I think Jack and Marcus, we all agree, look, good player, he scored goals for Celtic, but he had a bit of a ceiling. And with O, you get a lot of strikers over the years that you just thought, they're never going to score goals for Celtic. But O, he had three starts, so he's got about six goals or something like
seven,
that.
Seven, maybe, I think.
Seven,
yeah,
goals. So it's a decent return, but he's in positions where he does score. I think he could have scored a good few more for Celtic, and he's always in amongst the goals. He's always on the end of things, and his two goals, both satisfying as well. But just that one where that could easily hit the bar and a defender clears it. But Celtic aren't like that. There's always somebody falling in. There's always somebody there to put it home. And that's invaluable, because in some games, like that one, what was it, the fourth goal or whatever it was, that's fine, but that could win you a game sometimes. We've seen Celtic so many times where they've been first to react to things, and that's why we get the winning goals. Seen it a lot last season, seen it a lot this season, and we'll continue to see it because Celtic are always first in the scene.
If this striker dynamic was to continue into next season, let's hope it does. You know, there's not really any heavy speculation around Kyogo, but it's always the fear going into a summer you might lose a big player.
There are little whispers, but that's about it.
It's always the fear going into a summer that any brilliant player for Celtic could be picked off, right? But let's imagine it's not. Let's not spoil the party here. So if this dynamic was to continue into next season, Kyogo, you could be sitting here at the end of next season, Kyogo with another 30 goals under his belt, and O could have 18, 20. That's not beyond the realms of possibility. That's a really good season for a so-called second-choice Celtic striker. And the way we talk about backup these days, players aren't always necessarily backup anyway. Injuries will happen. If O is the second choice to Kyogo next season, he'll play 25 games easily. Yep. He'll definitely contribute
the
next season.
The amount of fixtures we end up playing, of course, as well.
And I think I'm really impressed with him. I have to say, he's not the finished article just yet. I do share the misgivings about him being the kind of finished article. I don't think he's got rough edges to iron out.
Yes.
So he's definitely got stuff to work on. But I think for half a season, you have to allow him the same adaptation time as the likes of Bernabe, the Japanese players. He's come from another continent to any Scottish football. You do have to allow these players a bit of time to adapt. And so seven goals in this length of time, I think that's a good return.
The thing, the difference between O and a lot of these other projects that we've signed over the years is, one, he's got age on his side. A lot of the times we bring in players at 24, calling them a project.
Just say Gutman. At Gutman and Manny Perez.
I mean, what age was Bayo when we brought him in?
I'm not sure, 24 or something.
I just feel like he was a lot older. And then we've brought in players of a similar age who you just know don't have it. They just don't have it. So he's kind of in that middle ground where he's got stuff. He's got stuff. Clip that.
Stuff in that.
He's got stuff in that. No, he's got skill on the pitch that you can sort of nail down. I'm waffling right now. What I'm trying to say is I've got a bit of confidence in him, Melly.
Yeah, so they are. He's a good player, and I think we'll see the best of it next season. What way is he?
You saved that well. Saved that waffling with saying he's a good player.
Look, that's professional. It's junk time for the podcast. It's the end of the season.
We've all had a bit too much champagne. He is a good player, but I mean that, and we've seen so many bad strikers for Celtic, and you can tell this isn't going to work out. Players just now at the club, you're just like, I don't think this is going to work out. You don't get that. He's scored goals, he's created chances, and if anything, next season, with a five sub rule, Celtic are going to be, Kyogo's went off early a lot of games on two goals because Celtic have the game won, so there's going to be plenty of game time, and if he continues to score headers like he does like that, everybody loves seeing that, don't they? I talked about how all the goals were satisfying. That was the most satisfying. Seeing a guy in the middle of the box, flinging his head and diagonally aiming a header into the far corner. Absolutely brilliant. Kyogo can get all the goals he wants. He should have had a header earlier in the game, but having a guy up there that can do that, best of all for
Celtic. He's got confidence in himself. He's a bit gallus, so you can tell.
Yeah, aggressive. Likes to get involved here. I think he's got everything about him to be very, very, very well suited to the Scottish game. I think he looks physical enough. Well, in fact, he definitely looks physical enough. He's a big lump of a lad. Quite quick, strong. I think he's perfectly well suited to Scotland. Now, bear in mind, I have said that in the past about Oliver Burke. So
he was perfectly suited for Scotland, Celtic. Just not a good team.
Every time I think of that guy, I remember that it was against Livingston.
Well, he cleared it off the line.
Dribbled the ball out of the park from the goal line. I think
I've not googled right yet. However, whilst after I passed to one of you two, I will check. Right, but how many clubs sitting here do you think Oliver Burke's got there?
I'll go 11.
Right, 11.
He's at 25.
Seven.
I'm going to go 14. right. That's what I'm going to go. And while we're doing that, Stephen, you can pick back your point.
But it's. I know. I agree.
Who's Ollie Burke?
So he got in there. The end of season title party. I'm talking about Oliver Burke. Bio.
Celtic great. Oliver Burke.
But it's. I agree with you, Melly. It's obvious. It's often. Even both ways, it's obvious when you get a young striker and youngish striker, you can tell almost straight away that whether they've got anything or whether they're going to be pretty poor. It's very rare that someone will come in, look quite poor and develop into a bona fide Celtic striker, right? You think from extremes, you've got Moussa Dembele, who came in at 19, was absolutely incredible. Odson Edouard, right? You can tell that they're going to go on. But likewise, you can tell when guys like Bayo and, the list is endless. Nadir Chifche and all that.
We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. By the way, it's 10.
Right,
we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that I'm really struggling. I know people like to romanticise this idea of a player that comes in, needs a run of games, becomes good, right? And we've heard that a lot with players, that we get a lot of feedback on our opinions on the podcast. That's part of being on a podcast. But I'm really racking my brain to think of anyone who came in and was absolutely diabolical and then turned into a player. It's different when there's a young player comes through, maybe gets a couple of games at 16, makes a bit of a Horlicks of it, but turns into something. But very rarely do we sign somebody, pay money for them, who is crap when they arrive and ends up making us specifically eat our words.
Yeah, and where I'm going with this with O is that he's been neither of those things. He's not been like Moussa Dembele level where you think, well, he's going to get 30, 35 goals a season. He's going to play for Chelsea or, at the time we've been linked with Juventus and all that stuff. He's not in that extreme, but he's miles away from the other end of the spectrum where you think you can just write him off straight away. There has been a little bit of, people talk about how these games are meaningless and all that, and they have been quite poor in between those two games that I spoke about. But you do tend to see that people start forming their opinions regardless. I don't care about this game, but also these players are up. I don't think anyone has written off O, but there's been a wee bit of sort of questioning whether he can properly replace Giakoumakis and all that.
I think he's done it already.
Possibly. He's getting close to it. I'm very encouraged by what I see, to be honest.
Latterday Giakoumakis, though, because when Giakoumakis came off the bench, he scored a goal. And that's what O's basically doing now.
And I would say, exactly, if Giakoumakis is the obvious comparison, he's better at this stage of his career with Celtic than Giakoumakis was, because it took Giakoumakis a long time to get going, and he was a fully fledged footballer at the time. It took him, remember, he was injured for ages, he came on and missed that penalty.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, so it took him a long time to get going. Whether he's ceiling is higher, I think probably is. I don't know. But at this stage, 6 months into his Celtic career, I think he's ahead of Giakoumakis, to be honest.
Well, you said something about, you know, you've not got confidence in players. Some players you don't think are going to make it under Ange. Some players that are still here. And it's always towards the end of the season. It's a time of great change at the end of the season. And you're kind of watching the celebrations after the match and you're thinking to yourself, how many of these guys am I probably never going to see again? You find yourself reading into how they're celebrating. What are they doing? Oh, that looks a bit different. Oh, he's spending a bit longer on the pitch than he really usually should. And
he's giving his boots to the crowd.
Yeah, he's giving his boots to the crowd. Who was it that gave their boots to the crowd but didn't retire?
Commons, remember he done it, and Hugh Keane said, that's him off. And he was here.
Also,
take the new contract next
Izaguirre.
Week.
Izaguirre did a lap of honour. Remember he came over and applauded everyone. And that there was an Izaguirre banner that did the whole lap of the stadium and he signed a new contract and he stayed. And then, not only that, even after he left, he came back again. Yeah, so it was the three Commons farewells.
It was the Commons boots. I was thinking, I'm pretty sure it was Commons with these boots. But I'm looking at that score and I'm thinking, how many of those players have probably seen their last title party at Celtic Park? I think if I had to pick a few, David Turnbull we've discussed at length, but I think in particular James Forrest is a player who he's got his when they announced his testimonial, I thought. Now, I've heard rumours about Forrest. When they announced the testimonial, I thought that's probably a sign. And I think we maybe have seen the last of James Forrest at Celtic Park.
Potentially, but he will be playing that testimonial. He'll be playing that testimonial, whether it's he's a Celtic player or not. It probably will be, but when you look at the date, August, he's still going to be here. I don't know what the future holds for James Forrest. He'd have thought after this season and this little game time he got that maybe it is time for him to move on. I think Celtic have moved beyond him. I think it has... career, he want to play games at this point. Yeah. Will he want to be fifth choice right now? Even them Celtic guys like Ben Summers and Vat are coming through, so I think it's about time for James Forrest to move on. And if he's coming into these games, then I get a bit annoyed at him, but then I realise like the guy's not played in how many months, and I'm expecting him to come on, skin a couple of players, and get the ball in. That's not his game anymore. I barely took on a player when he came on in the two games this week. So I think it's just time for James Forrest. Look, you've been a good servant to the club. Thanks for everything, but see you later.
I mean, thanks for James. Is that right? All right.
Clear off. Clear out your locker, James.
I could tell you what I really think about.
Yeah, get Draft Melly and do the speech. No, I do think, well, great point, Melly, because it brings me on to exactly what I was about to say. But I wonder if people maybe underestimate James Forrest's contribution to Celtic a wee bit. Because
I think they overestimate it.
No, well, hold on, because although he's no the most mercurial footballer and he's never been anybody's favourite footballer, James Forrest must be doing something right to have such a long career at Celtic. Celtic don't just hand out careers and medals and awards. They don't just hand careers to footballers willy-nilly.
No.
You know what I mean?
Don't.
And there's been people who...
James McCarthy.
James McCarthy's a different thing, but there's been players who came through with James Forrest that have not lasted anywhere near as long as James Forrest has, and the club have been very happy to get rid of them. So the guy's obviously doing something right. He's obviously got...
a great laugh around the dressing room and all that kind of... he's obviously got some sort of value, and it seems quite harsh to talk about James Forrest in these terms when he just played a half at the weekend in the last game of the season. We've not really seen anything from him this season to suggest that he's going to be a major contributor going forward. I don't think there's much debate there. I think he should go, in my opinion, because he's got so much left to give. I mean, he's 31?
Yeah.
This conversation would be fine about... should he just stay around for another couple of years at Celtic if he was 35 and he basically just sort of, he had done his race was run and he was doing a kind of Paul Lambert, doing his coaching badges in the background and all that kind of thing. But he could still be a great player for somebody, maybe not necessarily Celtic. Who wants this for him? This is already 2 years where he's barely played. Yeah. So he's done a bit under Ange. He scored a hat-trick just this season, but it's been very, very much in and out of the, or mostly out of the team. So he's still got something to do. For some club or other.
11 league titles, the guy's won.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of... That is a lot of winningness to bring to any squad.
It certainly is, and his contribution is enormous to at least some of that. He was brilliant under Brendan Rodgers and early Neil Lennon. That was his peak. He was great for those seasons. But now at the point where it becomes a debate over whether he can become the most decorated player in Celtic's history. If he gets another couple of medals, he'll be ahead of Bobby Lennox. All that stuff that surrounds him. But at this stage... is that really achieving anything? Because what would happen to get him to that point is other people would be winning those medals for him while he's not contributing.
You're suggesting there's maybe a bit of tokenism towards that. It would be like helping them across the line a wee bit just to tick a box.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll genuinely care about that, to be honest. I don't think as a professional footballer, he sits in the background now of the Celtic team and thinks it would be great if these guys ahead of me won another medal for me so I can... I don't think he talks in those terms at all. So I think... probably best if he moves on, because I think he could still contribute massively to some other club. Because do you know what, James Forrest, you're right, it doesn't really take players on a great deal anymore. That tends to be the trajectory for wingers who hit the age of 30. Their ability or willingness to take on players, just statistically, this is, you know, kind of broadly speaking, it tends to go sharply downwards after the age of 30. But he's still a good passer of the ball. He's still got talent in there. He's still got a good touch. He can still pick a decent pass. He could do that for someone. Whether he changes his
becomes like a James Milner type.
Yeah, well, he could maybe become a more central player. He could maybe do that, but that's not going to be at Celtic either. So I would wish him all the best, but I think it's probably time for him to go, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Summer's coming. Are you ready to unveil your beach bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your body is ready for the wild with their game-changing full-body grooming and hygiene products. Don't be the guy at the beach with the Austin Powers chest hair, or it doesn't even have to be that, Stevie. Not a patchy way, sort of pasty, bit of hair on the shoulders. You don't want that either. If you grew some winter man tits... Right, Melly. The least you can do is make sure they're hairless. It's time to get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with our code TIMS, T-I-M-S.
Manscaped is dedicated to helping you increase your confidence and level up your full body grooming game with the Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with the essential Lawnmower 4.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. Whether you're trimming your chest or the treasure chest in your pants, this is the best trimmer on the market. You also get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, $39 value add, and the patented high-performance, reduced-chafing Manscaped Boxers.
Get 20% off all of this and free shipping with the code TIMS, T-I-M-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS at manscaped.com. Trim your chesticles, the besticles.
Yeah, I think I've obviously been harsh on him a bit, but he's been a good player for Celtic. It's weird to think that, off you go, Jamesy, but I just can't imagine him anywhere else.
No, that's it.
Like, Callum McGregor's been at Celtic for a long time, but he's had that stint away, so it's kind of, you can like see him in another strip. With James Forrest, kind of, what, is he going to go to Hibs? Is he going to go to Fleetwood? I don't know where he'll go, but I think he can be a good player.
I think he's too good for both those teams. I mean, is his brother at Hearts still?
Yeah, he's still at Hearts, but even...
I think he's probably too good for that as well.
I wonder if a championship team down south would maybe take him, but I think he could be a decent player for somebody. He can score goals as well. That's something that he's maybe not too well known for, but he does get himself into decent scoring position, so I think he'd be a good player for
somebody. He came on for Abada. Abada's been linked away in the summer, and Abada's a sort of player that we've had long debates about. I sort of got myself into a bit of a pickle with my Abada / Mikey Johnson take. Just because Melly put me off, Stephen. Melly put me off, and I did make a point that with Mikey Johnson coming back, maybe he might be a more effective winger than Abada, and you can share your opinions on that if you want. Abada came out in the press recently, said he was very happy at Celtic, this is his home, and all that usual footballer stuff they say right before they leave. But I thought I thought Abada was actually quite good.
Yeah,
he had a good run early on where he took on three players, and you're like, where's this been? But look, I'm not going to let one half cloud my judgment. I don't think Leal Abada going forward for Celtic is the answer. We're looking for where Celtic can improve, and I think that's the one place. But it's not just that. Maybe it's harsh in Abada, but we're looking at, right, it's probably at the point where Celtic do need to sell a player. So who's a good player that can maybe get on without, and it would be Abada. That's nothing to do with him, but is it? That's what I'm wanting here. So I think if Celtic are going to improve in positions, I think it would be where Leal Abada plays. I think he's just... he can be a good player for somebody else, but I'm just not sure he'll be playing at Celtic every weekend at his age. I think he'd want to be playing all the time. There's, like Stephen said, there's no real bad players in this team, players that would go and fit in other squads, and I think Abada's one of them. Being a good player, scores lots of goals, but I'm looking for more, to be honest.
See, when you say Celtic need to sell, I know people are sensitive to this kind of thing, but I agree with that, they do. But people will be obviously saying, oh, but we're minted, who do we need to sell for? It's simply just to make room for other players. Yeah. You basically need, you can't keep all the players, because you know, we're all fond of, we should never have let them go, right? That tends to be said about every player who's played for Celtic in the last 15 years, we should never let them go. But quite simply, we can only have a certain amount of them, and you do have to move players on to make room for the new, you know, hopefully improvements. Abada, He's another one. He needs to be playing. He needs to be playing, and he's not really done an awful lot that at Celtic. Whether you would put two and two together and think that, well, he's not signing a new contract, so he's kind of been bombed out of the side. He's maybe been injured a wee bit as well. All of these things have combined, but it seems like too much of a coincidence that as soon as the speculation about him started happening, remember he made some sort of comment about things happening in the background or something, yeah, some sort of cryptic comment. It seems too much of a coincidence to... They line up quite well that happened, and then he's not really played an awful lot this season.
It's a pattern, isn't it? We've seen it with Ange before.
It would be silly to ignore the fact that it happened earlier this season with Juranovic and Giakoumakis. It's not a big deal. It's not like some sort of controversy. We just need to get rid of players and bring in other ones. That's just how it works. Ange has told us that. So if Abada's the next one out the door, kind of makes sense because he's not really playing an awful lot. I'm sure people will prefer him to Dyson because they're very, very different profiles of player. It's hard to ignore the level of goals that Abada scores, but it's just different. We need to defend from the front, and Abada's not necessarily as good as other players are at that. If you talk about we need to build for the Champions League, and I know it's a fairly nebulous concept, building for the Champions League, right? But one thing we're going to have to do is defend from the front. We have to be able to press teams and put them under pressure, because that's the main problem in the Champions League, is that we would do that to teams domestically, they'll panic and give the ball away. Teams in the Champions League will keep it for ages and ages, and Celtic will just tire themselves out. But we need to be able to defend from the front. Abada's no great at that, and Dyson Maeda is. So I appreciate that they're different players. But Abada, he's been great. It's been two seasons, scored a lot of goals. It's probably just about time to move on from him. No, again, nothing against him. And I think he's done really well, contributed massively. But we need to make space for new players.
Yeah, his numbers are great, and I think he will be a good player for somebody. But it's a good position for Celtic to be in as well. It's that guy where, you know what, we can make good money on this guy, and he's not quite that main 11 player. But at the same time, if he stays, Celtic have got a decent player on their hands as well. Yeah. So I think Abada's in that position as well, where he'll be looking at it. I don't think his ceiling will be higher either. So if he's going to get a move, it is the point. It's the perfect point for him and the club as well with the contract situation. He's not going to sign a new one. He's still got enough time on it that Celtic can get a decent fee. And it's about Celtic need to shake things up all over the pitch. They maybe need somebody at the back, they need somebody in midfield, they need somebody in the wide areas.
It's the reshuffle we were talking about last week.
Small changes that will probably benefit Celtic and keep this churn going. It's a good way Celtic are running it now. We're not losing massive players. We're selling players, bringing in other decent players. At some point, somebody won't work out. Burnaby hasn't worked out, maybe Kobayashi, but Abada's worked out for Celtic, so if we can get money for him, it'd be great. But if he stays, fair enough.
One thing we need to do, that's some consistency. The manager's office, we'll get to that in a wee minute. But these games are really a bit of a format. It's like a party atmosphere at Celtic Park when this goes on, and it's really about the celebrations, and it's really about seeing the players. Now, people have mixed feelings about the players on the pitch with their families and all that sort of stuff, and the trophy presentation. But I had mixed feelings personally about being feeling that they force Ange to do speeches. But I've got to admit, I loved that lucky man jive. I thought that is the when you're standing on the pitch, 60,000 Celtic fans screaming your name, your team have got the trophy behind them, and he goes, "I'm a lucky man." Like it was beautiful. It was great just to finally just put one little zip right over that pipsqueak's little mouth. And say that this is me. I'm the lucky man.
Absolutely nailed it. He's obviously been sitting on that for a few weeks, hasn't he? BBC cut it out. The clean shots of the BBC, because the regime don't like it, man. they cut out the line, the best line of it. But the whole thing, the whole build up to it, the champions again because of this, champions again because of that, and then to finally kill it off with that line was absolutely brilliant. It's hilarious in the stadium. Everybody was pissing themselves laughing, but. We just never get bored of this, man. It's like, see this chat about how it must be dead boring being dominant in Scotland. It just total garbage. Melly and I spoke about this on our At The Match podcast that we did for Trophy Day. Every one of these Trophy Days is just as good as previous ones. They never get boring. I will never find myself in this stage where I'm just, oh, I knock off early, lads. Should we just beat the traffic? I will happily stay behind and listen to questionable music being played, watching the team.
They didn't even play Lucky Man.
Right there, he said it.
It's dreary though. It's a bit of a party killer. It would have worth it for the gag, but it is fairly dreary. But the usual one more time, hey there you, with what was that thing? Live it up, all the usual stuff. But honestly, I find myself at these things that I find myself, like, I'm listening to the speeches and all that. So again, not only do we never get bored of it, I appreciate these because one of these days it's never going to, like, we might not be as successful next season. Hopefully we will. It just, you cannot take it for granted, is my point. You cannot simply just say, oh, well, we're dominant in Scotland. It's all just boring. This is a formality and all that. It's the whole day was great. The TIFO before it, the atmosphere, the performance of the team, because again, they don't want to let us down on Trophy Day. The speech from the manager, watching the players enjoying it, all the families, all that stuff, the party in the city centre, all that. It's just, what a great day. And I will never, ever tire of that. And you never know when you're in the good times, like when you're in the successful period. You don't know when you've peaked until you're coming over the other side of it. Yes. And we experienced that in very recent seasons, the thing we do not talk about, right? So every one of these, you take... You enjoy like it's the first time and like it's the last time in many ways. So a brilliant
because
day.
It's, I mean, I know this is the most blatantly obvious thing you say, but I feel like the people that moan about these things don't consider it. Everyone's different. Every season has its own challenges that you have to overcome to get to that point. I mean, God, last season it was unbelievable, one of the best seasons I've ever followed Celtic. Yeah. This season it was brilliant, but entirely different. It was brilliant for different reasons.
Yeah, and like, everybody's circumstances change, don't they? It could be somebody's first league title that they've seen Celtic win. It could be somebody's last. It could be that you've moved away. It could be this is your first year staying in Scotland or something. Everything's different. It could be you're with different people at different times. It's all about how it feels to you. And have you ever had Celtic lose the league and thought, oh, do you know what? We had a good one last season. This is all right. It's not like that. Mm. You want to win every season and you want to be, when you get to the end of the season, the whole point to a season is when you get to the end that your team is successful, especially in Scotland, because there's only going to be one of two teams winning it. So you want to be that team or it's going to be your big rival. So this nonsense, like, do you ever get bored? No, never, never get bored. I still love every second of it. I love the manager having a go. It was good that Ange just took it instead of the guy asking him questions and all. He had that ready, delivered it. It was on a plate for Lucky Man. They even could have done Kylie Minogue. I could be so lucky.
Yeah, that's probably worse.
They passed it up. So it would have been great, but it would have been better than nothing. But I think if you're going to get bored of that, which no fan that ever wins ever says they're bored of it, because then your rival wins it. I think it's just great. Ange coming in has revitalised everything. And even going through COVID like everybody went through, it just re-energised everybody. Mm. We got back to the football. You're still in that where that was so close. It was far away, but it was still so close that you remember how bad it was for everyone involved and what happened. So don't take this for granted. And I don't think anybody does. And judging by the scenes, we all knew last year what it was like when Celtic had that last day of the season. Everybody got the memo this season, didn't yeah. they? Knew what was happening.
Look, I don't want to get my high horse, but I just think that the reaction and the preparation for Celtic winning the league and the fans spilling out in the Gallagher is it's pathetic, man. Like, it's why can they not put on a party for people? Why can they not arrange something for everyone?
Put some bins out, man.
Well, there's that. But why can't they just go somewhere and let everyone sort of enjoy themselves a wee bit, create a bit of a party atmosphere? It's just like, they just let everyone spill on the Gallagher as if you're not allowed to do it, and then they have a moan about it afterwards. I just, for the life of me, don't understand why they don't put on some sort of event at Glasgow Green or elsewhere. The club pay for it. Have a more organised thing. Go and let us enjoy the day. We're going to do it anyway. We're going to do it anyway. So you might as well.
Barry from EastEnders, me.
So you might as well put on something and let us enjoy it. Have some ported blues about the place at least, so people haven't to pee in the street. Just anything at all would really do instead of treating us like animals and then moaning about it the next day. But that's my personal beef with these things. But it's absolutely brilliant. Did you see that drone footage?
Oh, yeah, yes.
To be honest, I've seen about 8 drone footage videos. There must be going to move for drones, obviously.
You always see, like, because of Twitter and all in social media now, when teams win the league and it's scenes. We are now the scenes. Yeah. And that's what you want to be. You want to be part of that. You want to be, Celtic fans are one of the best in the world. And this is why, because we don't take it for granted no matter what. We go and win these titles and you go and enjoy it. That's what supporting a football club's about.
Life is difficult sometimes. Life is hard. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
I thought you were going to say pandemic.
Yeah, but people are having a bit of a crap time of it. Your football team goes and wins. Go and have a party. Aye. It's absolutely fine. Although public service announcement, see if somebody's got a lit firework, don't try and wrestle it off them. Just
it's the one thing we didn't want to happen.
I thought it was Wesley Snipes in Passenger 57 there. She thought she was going to take that off the guy. Right, so there's a good one, isn't it?
The 90s movie reference, tick. There we go.
We managed to get it in. Look, people don't like this sort of thing. People don't like you talking about this speculation around the manager. But there is probably more than ever concrete speculation that Tottenham Hotspur are interested in Ange. And Ange has pressed on it. He's not answering it. He's answering it in the same way he's always answered these things. I've got some pretty strong views on the way that I think that this should be handled by the manager, by the club and all that sort of stuff. I've got some pretty strong views about how I think the job is to go at Celtic. I've got some pretty strong views about how attractive a prospect I think Tottenham Hotspur are right now for any manager at the moment. But I want to hear what you guys have got to say first, because I'm not convinced at all by the prospect of Spurs for Ange right now. I heard Neil Lennon speak recently and he said that there's a job to do still at Celtic, and that's how I feel. I still feel there's a job to do at Celtic.
I saw the same thing you're talking about. Neil Lennon was asked if Ange is going to be in the Premier League in the next 12 months, and Neil Lennon said, you know, directly no, just no. There's a job still to do at Celtic. However, he was sitting across the table from Cockney gobshite Tim Sherwood. Tim Sherwood said yes, because I might have heard a wee thing, and then the video cuts off and I'm like, oh, what a cliffhanger that is.
I'll tell you right now, Neil Lennon, who is probably still mates with Dermot Desmond and Peter Lowell, probably knows more about what's going on at Celtic than Tim. They won't return my calls. Remember me, I've still got the GLA Sherwood.
Yeah. I'm not buying into anything that happened in that video, of course, but it was the sources. So this was probably last Friday that it first started happening, that Spurs links became quite strong, even chat about an official approach about to be made, all that stuff. Now, we sit here on Monday, nothing further has happened, but it was the sources of the rumours that started to alarm me. It wasn't just your
Fabrizio
usual...
Fabrizio Morano.
Usually on the ball, that guy.
It wasn't your Kenny Miller and Chris Boyd. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was Miguel Delaney, guys who are fairly reputable. Well, reputable compared to the usual Scottish sort of slurry out there, the mainstream media. So I searched, you know, various social media for just Ange Spurs, and all the sort of blue tick Spurs accounts have all started clicked into gear. Here's the breakdown of how Ange plays football. Here's what he could bring to Spurs. Here's how he would benefit this player in the Spurs team. Here's how Richarlison would benefit. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this. I do not want to see these breakdowns at all. Well, it might just be speculation, but it feels quite ominous at the moment because, like, Spurs, yes, they are in a bit of a mess just now and have been for basically all season. They had a massive meltdown with a previous manager. The guy who replaced the interim gets sacked after Conte was sacked. It's been a disaster. Harry Kane has somehow remarkably scored 32 goals or something like that this season still, and amongst it all. So they have still got things going for them. But I just don't... This is an opportunity, if there's anything in it, that the likes of which I don't think Ange will get again, if this is true at all. People who say, no, he should hang on for Liverpool, hang on for Man City, Man United, that's never going to happen. They're in the business of the super coaches. Spurs probably are as well, but there are links that have come out that Spurs have appointed this Australian director of football who has worked with Ange in the City group before. So there are a few jigsaw pieces fitting together there. It feels like an opportunity that might appeal to him. No, I'm not saying he's going to just ditch Celtic at the first opportunity, but on the surface of things, Spurs, only 4 years off a Champions League final very recently. They were one of the 16 clubs in the European Super League, which fell through. So they are considered among, let's face it, it's just wealth, really. Yeah, it's nothing beyond that. But that talks. I'm not talking about personally. I'm not talking about how Ange will be paid more, which he inevitably will. At Spurs over Celtic, but it's the opportunities that affords, the greater access to players, facilities, being able to attract different players, being able to work with better players for the last few years of his probably top flight career. Going on 58, Ange Postecoglou, that window is closing because these clubs don't generally appoint managers in their 60s now. It tends to be guys in their kind of early 40s who come through at progressive clubs. So for all those reasons, I think it could be an appeal to a guy like Ange, because I won't drag us back down the discussion that we've had before about how England is like, that's kind of the place to be for not only players, but now coaches. That's where everyone gravitates towards, whatever you think of it. That's kind of, it's the main show in football these days. But I don't want any of this to happen. I don't want any of this to happen at all. I would love for Ange to stay for as long as he possibly can, but I'm realistic about it. I know that day will come one day. And it's because he has been so successful at Celtic that he is unavoidable. He is undeniable for someone, one of these clubs. I don't know at this point. I really don't know.
Let me tell you where I am on everything you've said, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with everything you said, but in this specific case, right, Ange has a good job at a massive club, yeah, right?
But with a ceiling,
Ange has a good job at a massive club. He's not motivated by money, he's always said that. Regardless of that, he's a very wealthy man, and if he signs any form of new contract at Celtic, he's going to be an extremely wealthy man. His kids and grandkids are going to be taken care of at Celtic. Should Ange achieve more? I think there's a job to be done at Celtic. I think there's Celtic are a three-stage process here. I think part one is rebuilding us to get us competing back on all domestic fronts and get us back into Europe, and that's where we got.
Tick.
That was last season. This season was about stabilising the club and building on what you've already achieved, getting his back off
the knees. Foot on the neck. Tick.
And the third thing you need to do as Celtic manager, the third thing that we want, and the reason we went out and got Ange, was to use this nebulous term, but to make some form of mark in the Champions League, right? And I know that's not entirely down to Ange, that's down to the club supporting him, right? So if he goes to Celtic next year and goes, if you want me to do this thing that you brought me here to do, I need 50 million quid for you, and I don't care where you get it, but there's a billionaire in charge, get him and write a cheque, or whatever the case may be, right? So, and just partway through that job, there is work to be done here. He didn't come to Celtic just to sit. Now, I appreciate things change all the time and the Tottenham job has come along, but sometimes things arrive at the wrong time for Ange, and sometimes that's life, and sometimes that isn't to say this is the only time it will come around, because I'm not asking Ange to stay for life. What I'm saying is Ange, give one more year. Because, you know, just because it's Spurs, I think a lot of people are taking what Spurs was or what Spurs could be and not the reality of Spurs at the moment. The problem, as far as I see it with Spurs, is every manager that comes in never gets the backing or the players to fulfil the obligation and the vision that he has for Spurs. So they end up just, it's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. These managers come at Spurs, they don't get the players they need, they end up losing the rag and they just leave. And That's a risky gamble Ange has got. Now, you could stay one more year at Celtic, and if you achieve what you achieve at Celtic, then you might get Brighton, you might get Villa, you might get West Ham, you might get another club, maybe not the big name that Spurs is, but you get the foot in the door at the Premier League and you get to achieve a legacy at Celtic and you get to build on something at Celtic and you still leave very, very wealthy. You go to Spurs and you don't get anything you're promised and it goes the way it's gone for every other Spurs manager the last couple of years and you're out before Christmas or you're out before the end of the season, you're done. That's it. No, he's not going to get the second bite of the cherry. So you need to, he needs to pick his move very, very, very carefully about what happens next. And I don't think Spurs is the club for it. And opportunities come around at the wrong time all the time. All the time. And if Ange was to sit down and write a memoir, it might read, you know, left a Celtic legend, won the treble this year, maybe won the league in the treble and got us out the Champions League group last year or done whatever next year. Spurs came on for me in the summer, but I sat down with Spurs and do you know what? It wasn't the right time for me. And I don't think that would go down as a regret for Ange. I don't think if he achieves what he can achieve at Celtic and builds a legacy that he can achieve, and I know he's not motivated by money, but has all the money in the bank that he would get from doing it, I don't think he's going to go, damn, wish I took that 40 million from Spurs for 6 months. He might, but I don't think that's necessarily where he is. And I think that as much as I understand it's and appreciate that it's a big draw, and I'm not foolish enough to think that people just turn, you know, we're talking probably about the difference between 2 million quid a year at Celtic and 10 million quid a year at Spurs. Yeah. I know it's massive and it's easy for me to sit here making a fraction of that every week doing podcasts.
Barely make that a month.
I can't even make that a month doing Celtic podcasts. patreon.com/20minutetims if you want to help me do it. I just don't think that's something that's ever really motivated Ange, and he said that himself, and I have to take his word for that. Now, the only criticism I do have of Ange, and the only thing that's making me feel wary, is he could at any time say, I've got a job here to do at Celtic and I want to lead Celtic in the Champions League next year, and I've started something here that I want to see through. And he may very well still say that. He might be completely, you know, saying, I'm not going to comment on Spurs till a bit of paper arrives in my email inbox with a job offer or until I get to speak to someone. And I know I've been talking for a long time, but I've got a lot to say. He might go to Spurs and say, right, I've had a look at your squad. I need 200 million in the summer to put it right. And if you sell Harry Kane, I need another 100 million to replace him. And the Spurs might just go, we can't do that. And he'll go, cool. And I'll catch you later on it. But I think there's no harm if he was staying. Ange could do more to reassure fans like myself by saying there's a job here. I know people say, and you guys have said it at the podcast before, he could look foolish on that, but we've just sat here and said no super club is going to come in for him, so Spurs are just about the only top club that are really going to come in for him at the moment. I think if he said I want to leave Celtic to get in the Champions League next year, and we're sitting in August in Barcelona, Man U, Liverpool, Man City come in for Ange, we can all appreciate that some offers are too big to turn down. So I don't think Spurs is the right opportunity for Ange. I think there's masses of work to do at Celtic. I think there's an opportunity to build a legacy and a name that goes beyond what he could do at Spurs. And I think Spurs is a risky bet for him. That is my case for staying at Celtic, Melly.
Yeah, and look, this is the most difficult job offer, I think, for Ange, because I think he's still got a job to do at Celtic. He's still, I was at the coaching convention, he was talking about Celtic in the Champions League, why we want to do that. So I've no doubt that Ange was planning and is planning for next season in the Champions League. But while he's still got a job to do at Celtic, I also think at the exact same time, Spurs would be too hard a job to turn down. And I get that they're in a bit of a mess, but he's not going to get offered that job unless Spurs are in a mess. There's no way he's going to get offered. Oh, he might.
I've got a Ferrari outside with a broken gearbox and four flat tyres and a smashed exhaust, but I'll give you it for the price of a Corsa. Well, you don't just take it, it could lead to so many more problems.
Yeah, but I think Spurs is kind of like the Chelsea job as well, as if you don't do well at that, people don't think you're a bad manager. Plenty of managers have went there, not succeeded and went on to manage. I think Spurs is, well, it's not a super club, it was one of the clubs.
Look what it did to Tim Sherwood.
He's talking about Neil Lennon.
He's talking about Neil Lennon doing Willie Hill podcasts.
But the Spurs are...
Flogging Gilly is on eBay.
He probably is as well. Well, Spurs isn't quite the top job. It's still one of those clubs that was going to be in that European Super League, so they are seen as a massive club. And is he going to get any of the other big jobs? I just don't see it happening. I think it was in the Discord recently, I really worry about Spurs because of the way they are right now. I think top managers will knock them back. And because Arne Slot knocked them back last week, Ange sort of moves up. And this was my worry, that when people have a look and ask Spurs what they're going to do, then they'll not got the reassurances they need. But this might be an opportunity for Ange Postecoglou. This is me. Look, Julian Lopetegui is the Wolves manager. Unai Emery is the Aston Villa manager. This is where you go up against the cream of the crop as managers. The best of the best are in the Premier League. Ange, while it's not about money for him, it is about ambition. He's an ambitious guy. He wants to go up against the best and see where he can go. And I think Tottenham is the best job that he could get offered right now. Whether he takes it, to be honest, I don't think he will. I think a couple of things will come into play. I think Ange will still feel he's got a job to do at Celtic, but also I'm just not sure Spurs will come in for him. I think for how much I love Ange and think he's a brilliant manager, I still think they'll be aiming a bit higher than him. And I think if they do get him, it will be because they've failed in other targets. Doesn't mean to say he's a bad manager, but I think he's got a job to do here at Celtic. But if Spurs did make a concrete bid for him, I think he'd find it very hard to turn down.
The soulless churn of the Premier League manager roundabout. Melly makes a good point there, and being completely objective about it. You are the chairman of a Premier League football club, and you've got basically almost, as we seem to think, the pick of European managers, right? Obviously, Spurs don't have the absolute pick because the Fire Rob manager just turned them down. But how good a job has Ange Postecoglou actually done at Celtic? We love him because of what he's done at Celtic, but a lot of that's emotional. A lot of that's bringing us back from where we were, bringing us where we think we should belong. But how much attention are these chairmen and directors of football actually paying attention to the SPFL? Or are they going, right, okay, so he's won the treble, tick, that's like to get you into the playoff. Winning everything in Scotland sort of gets you recognised. In Europe, he did okay. How many of these managers, how many of these club chairmen do you think are actually thinking, that guy's done a really excellent job at Celtic?
Well, I'd actually think it's not the opposite, but I don't think that is the point anymore. I don't think these clubs look at trophies in Scotland or anything like that. Because you look at, I think like clubs will want to build cultures, winning cultures and player development and, you know, tactical revolutions and all that at their clubs. You look at Brighton, they went out and appointed De Zerbi, who has been one of the managers of the year down there, has qualified them for Europe.
Pep loves him.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's one of the most kind of now influential managers in the league, having come from, not nowhere, but I mean, relative obscurity when it comes to the Premier League. Barely won anything in his career. I think he won a cup in Ukraine, possibly, something like that with Shakhtar. So I don't think they will look at that. They have pulled off a masterstroke there and bringing in a guy who can develop on what Graham Potter had already built, and he's absolutely done that. I don't think clubs...
Why did one of the big clubs not go for this guy?
Oh, well, that becomes part of the discussion about like opportunity, timing, right? None of these big clubs are really looking for anyone just now, so that's why I'm worried about Spurs, because they are looking for managers. None of the others are. Possibly Liverpool at one point in the future, but they're not going to appoint Ange. And maybe there will be other opportunities in England, such as the aforementioned Aston Villa, Brentford, Brighton, all those kind of things. Those are good clubs to be at in England. Good managers are there. But if they're looking for a manager, it's because one of their managers has gone to Spurs. So Ange could basically just go straight in there. Again, I'm only speculating, and I really hope these things don't happen.
Well, we know what happened last time we did this with a Celtic manager. Wow.
We categorically stated that Rodgers was absolutely going nowhere, and about 8 hours later, he was...
Before the podcast was even cold, gone.
So I don't think clubs look at just trophies and stuff like that anymore. I think that's too... I think that's oversimplifying things. I think they will look at what a manager does within their particular set of circumstances and resources and all that, how they build a culture at a club rather than what's he won.
Spurs are looking for somebody to build a culture and build an identity around Spurs. What are Spurs? Yeah. I don't know what they are. And they've tried the big managers in Conte and Mourinho, and it didn't get them anywhere. So they need somebody to come in, play a brand of football and do something. And I think that's why they'll be looking at Ange. And when you look at Ange as well, it's just Ange. You don't have to bring in a whole raft of coaches or anything like that. You bring him in and he works like that. So I can see why Spurs would go for him. When you said, look, when the chairmans are looking at things and they're looking at trebles and has Ange done a good job? I think Ange has done a brilliant job at Celtic. Is that going to be enough for some of the big clubs? No, it won't be. The problem with Spurs is Daniel Levy's their chairman, and that's what worries me as well, because that guy will bring in Ange and go, do you know what, if it doesn't work out in 6 months, I'll just get rid of him.
Well, that's something that Ange's got to think about. Yeah. That brings me back to the point I made earlier on. Like, yeah, it's a massive roll of the dice. I mean, what are you chasing? I think it's a huge gamble for Ange. Yeah, I really do.
But the big gamble with that is as well as Daniel Levy is the best and worst thing, because he could just get an Ange and think I'll get rid of him. But at the same time, he's the thing that will probably stop Ange going, because he knows This guy doesn't do it. He doesn't give a manager assurances, doesn't give them time. I could hang out here at Celtic and still be a very good manager for Celtic.
Here's what I want from Ange. I want Ange to sign a new 2-year deal at Celtic on big money, on the proviso that if he gets an offer next year, we won't stand in his way. I don't think that's too much to ask.
No.
And I think sometimes some fans, I'm not saying you guys are doing this, but I think some fans just think the Premier League is an irresistible tractor beam and there's nothing you can possibly offer a manager. And in fact, you know, managers don't really owe Celtic that much anyway. And I think Ange is a guy with real integrity, and I don't think waving some money at him and all this sort of stuff is going to drag him down. I think if he goes to Spurs, it will need to be a very good offer and the promise of a very good, you know, working environment and all that sort of stuff. But I just think I've gamed it out in my head, and I think there's work to be done at Celtic. I think the job's not finished. Yep. And I don't think Ange's sort of guy to walk out halfway through an unfinished job. And I think if Celtic were to make Ange an offer, 2-year deal, increase money, we won't stand your way if things go. If another offer comes in next summer, I think that's everyone would be happy. When I say everyone, I mean me, Ange, and Celtic.
The Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. And on that bombshell, we will wrap up. Thank you so much to everyone who supports us on Patreon, patreon.com/20minutetims. The football season is over, but the podcasts aren't over. They keep coming. So check us out on patreon.com/20minutetims. We will be at the cup final, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.